Now, their tails are up. They're up by two. We played the five. This would give them a golden ticket into next year's Sam Maguire, but they want to win this. And Jack O'Connor can round it off. Stop. Oh, it's in. Jack O'Connor has come on. He's been the hero. He's got a goal and two. And Meath are now definitely going to win the 2023 Tartan Cup. Jack O'Connor stopped initially by the goalkeeper's save.
Okay, so you're very welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a rather unique edition of our Meath Chronicle Sports Podcast, Talk a Good Game. We're doing this by Zoom this week. It's the first time we've tried to do it by Zoom. We've missed a few weeks because I've been laid up. For those that don't know, I had a new hip put in a few weeks ago, so I've been out of action for a few weeks. But we couldn't let this week go by, the week that was in it. Meath winning the Tartan Cup. We couldn't let this week go by without recording an edition of the Meath Chronicle Sports Podcast, Talk a Good Game. And seeing as I'm not able to drive, we had to do it by Zoom. So, Jimmy, this is a unique occasion for both of us.
Yes, a unique occasion and a historic few days for Meath football, Fergal.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we'll make apologies straight away for the poor quality of the sound. But it is what it is, and hopefully it doesn't impact on people's enjoyment of the podcast too much. Jimmy, it was a great day in Croke Park on Saturday. Meath winning the Tartan Cup 2-13 to 14 points. It is only, and I'm using the air quotes there, the Tartan Cup, and probably the buy-in to it from outside of the counties involved isn't what it should be. But it's a great victory for Meath, and it should give them a platform for something in the future.
Well, Fergal, I know Colin Baroque has won many things over his career. Great, you know, All-Ireland finals in 87 and 88, All-Stars, with Screen as well, a couple of Keegan Cups. He's won a lot of things, but I don't think I've ever seen him as pleased or as happy or the smile quite as broad as it was when the final whistle. And for a good while afterwards, you know, he came into the media area maybe a half an hour after the final whistle. And he was bouncing in, you know. He was really on a high, I would say, you know, because he had worked very hard with this team. That they'd been down at a very low point there in Tullamore after they lost to Offaly. The second half performance against Offaly didn't bode well for many reasons.
Yeah, you know, that had followed on from a poor league campaign as well, which, you know, we ended up fighting relegation. So it really was a redemption of sort, and probably a reward for the courage that he showed in putting a lot of faith in the youth.
Well, he mentioned it many times how hard this team had worked. Now, he's been mentioning it throughout the campaign. You know, these guys are great, and he's right, you know, but how hard they've worked and, you know, how they've come back. And one thing that really struck me about this thing is that he's trying to create a culture, you know, within the team in terms of having them. He talks about enjoying football. You don't hear managers talk about that much, intercounty managers or club managers even, about the players just enjoying their football. That's all. This is supposed to be a hobby. It's supposed to be a pastime. It's supposed to be an enjoyment, isn't it? So, I mean, that's what he's trying to instill into this team, to create this culture of positivity. He's always praising them. And you know, I think they responded very well to that. But, you know, the performance was very, very good in the second half, Fergal, wasn't it?
Yeah, so just before we look at maybe the impact that it could have in the future, just have a look at the game itself. It was a poor enough, not a really poor first 13 minutes, but first 13 minutes where Meath were on the back foot and were very definitely the second best team. They kind of defended well enough. It wasn't too bad from that point of view to be only 4 points to one down, but it just wasn't clicking up front. But then you get a huge slice of luck, Jimmy, and in anything, in any walk of life, you need a little bit of luck. And we got it with that Jack Flynn shot that came off the upright and then bounced off Ronan Jones's knee and into the net. You know, and from then on, the defensive structure got into place. We really restricted down. This is a down team that scored 8 goals in their semi-final win over Laois.
Yeah, I think 15 goals altogether in the all competition, Fergal. So I thought that was going to be a big factor in actually Down going on to win this game. But defensively, as you mentioned there, Meath were superb, weren't they, in tackling? And I know, you know, we got some tremendous performances in the second half, you know, with Jack Flynn in man of the match. But I thought that Sean Coffey was the man of the match.
Yeah. I think you picked out it by half time, Jimmy. I think we both agreed at half time that he was excellent, that he was having a really good half, and we said it at half time. And I think you were sticking by your guns then. But Jack O'Connor coming in made a major impact, and then Jack Flynn just was outstanding. Connor Gray was brilliant. Ronan Ryan was brilliant. Ronan Jones was a real leader in midfield. What more can you say about the likes of Padraig Harn and Donald Keoghan? You know, for all the youth that Colm O'Rourke has brought through, an injury-free Padraig Harnan has been absolutely crucial, and a hugely influential Donal Keoghan. Without those two men, maybe we wouldn't have to have the Tailteann Cup by the banks of the Boyne.
Well, I think this is one of the classic occasions, Fergal, when everybody played their part, when this was a real team effort. Now, because it was right in the middle, it was still in the melting pot right in the end. Because there was only 2 points in it, of course, before Jack O'Connor, who only came on after 46 minutes, but what an influence he had. But there was only 2 points in it. And, you know, there was a couple of times there when Down looked like they could loft the ball into the square, and you just never know what's going to happen after that.
Yeah, there was a brilliant block by Ronan Ryan, and there was another shot that was kind of scrambled off the line by Matthew Costello and Sean Brennan. So Down did have their opportunities, but as you said then, when Meade rode those storms, Jack O'Connor came up with his opening point, Jimmy, was unbelievable.
Yes. Well, I think it showed that the value of the strength and depth, obviously, we know all that, how important that is. But I was very surprised that he was left off, actually, Fergal.
So was I. Yeah.
Played very well, I thought, and here he was left off. So he had a point to prove, and wow, how he did that! Boy, how he proved that, you know.
He certainly did. And just then, Jimmy, you know, as we said, it was a tight game coming down the stretch, and it was still in the balance. But just the composure then, and I think that's what it showed from Bernard Flynn. Jack Flynn. He took that ball, and it was a difficult enough inside pass to him. I think it could have been from Conor Gray, played that ball centrally into him. But he had the strength to win the ball, hold off two down tacklers, and then had the vision to look up and see Jack O'Connor running in behind the defence and got the ball into him. And that was the goal. Obviously, there was only 2 points in it before that. That was the goal that put the icing on the cake, as I said in the last little bits of commentary. But that type of composure and that type of maturity and that type of vision from players, Conor Gray, the three lads we mentioned there, Conor Gray, Jack Flynn, and Jack O'Connor, for three young lads, or players who are so young, to have that type of composure, vision, and excellence of the execution of the skill that late in a game, it bears well for the future, bodes well for the future, doesn't it? It really does.
Yes, it does. And I think significantly, Conor O'Rourke added afterwards that this success will, it's obviously great for young players, but it create a hunger for them to repeat this again. Now, you know, they have a long way to go, obviously, from this to the Leinster Championship and beating Dublin, but a long, long journey still ahead. But this is a very significant. Now, I asked them as well about the Centenary Cup and how significant that was to that team back in the 80s and 84. And he said it was, you know, it was really important in giving the team confidence and belief, of course, that they can win. But as I said, it was far from a sort of a vintage performance for me either. It wasn't a perfect performance, far from it. Down were always in the game, weren't they? You know, they were always in the game. And right at the very last kick of the ball. So that's just one thing that O'Rourke referenced, and perhaps we might hear that later on in some quotes that
yeah, we just it might be the right time now, Jimmy. We'll just have a listen to the interview that you got with Colm just immediately after the game. We'll have a listen to that now.
It's as satisfying as I think nearly anything I was ever involved with. I suppose your memory dims with age of great things. I suppose nothing replaces the All-Irelands that I won with made in the 80s and championships won with Screen. But this is a huge day for us, and couldn't be happier on a personal level, but couldn't be happier for the hard work that our players have put in. And I'm delighted that they have got a reward. They have been just fantastic since the start of the year, and couldn't commend them highly enough. And I've said that all along.
Tottenham Cup is taking on a fair journey. Consider where you were in Tullamore that day against Oscar to where you are now.
Yeah, and again, it's a tribute to the players. After that, we came together and they all said they wanted in and they wanted to make a good go of it. At that stage, Croke Park in July looked a long way away, but thankfully it's been an eventful journey. The team has got better and better and better as we went on, and you just could see, I think the last three weeks you could see the significant improvement even in the team in training. So it's been good for us this season.
Is that sort of experience crisis for Leicester? You know, has a lot really stood up there in the second half and we were needed?
Absolutely. I was only just looking at the team that played against Cork in the first round of the league, and there was only five of them starting today, which shows an incredible movement of players, both first of all that came into the panel and knew, and then came onto the team as the season evolved. And they'll all be better next year. I think we've introduced a whole lot of new players, and it's their first taste of success, and I think they will be hungry for more.
Defensively very strong today.
Well, sure, we got plenty of criticism that we had no idea how to defend for most of the year, and we were doing our best and it just wasn't working. So we did put a lot of effort, like over the last 6 months. But again, players who are new, it takes them a while to get used to a system and get used to each other, more importantly. But I'm glad we stuck with all those players, because I think that today they were brilliant in the way they covered and tackled, and their discipline was first rate as well. We knew after the goal threat that they had against Laois that anything other than absolute total concentration and commitment to the cause wouldn't be enough, and we certainly got that in spades.
There's some second half performance, Colin, probably the best that you've seen maybe in your time with.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about it. Since we took over, it was the best second half performance. But again, we felt that that was in them, and our fitness levels were very good, and we knew that we'd last out the game. We also knew that we probably had a few subs that would make a difference whenever they came on, and it turned out like that. I thought in the end maybe we shouldn't have had to rely on the last score, that maybe we could have settled the nerves a little bit earlier, but Down had a few good chances of goals as well, and there wasn't much in it. It was a bit like Parnell Park in a lot of ways. It was I suppose, like Waterloo, as Wellington says, it was a close run thing.
I mean, it's compared to the Centenary Cup victory that you were involved in many years ago, and that was a huge step forward for that particular team.
Absolutely, but I got a lot of belts on the head since that, so I don't remember that much about it. You're going to call in Sean Boylan here and ask him, but it definitely was the springboard for us to go on to better things. And any group of players, success is always a great thing for them, and it'll make them hungry for more.
How nice was it to see the new games being the difference makers early in the end? The likes of Jack Flynn, Jack O'Connor, gone that massive influence. Obviously, Kyogi was immense throughout, but the new
breed of meat footballers. Yeah, it's brilliant. Like, I think Jack Flynn had played a bit of a championship match before this year. I think it was his first full championship match when we played against Tipperary, and Jack O'Connor had played very little. So they made an enormous contribution. But like Donal Keoghan, Pádraig Hearn, and like a lot of them had brilliant games. Adam O'Neill, Sean Brennan was excellent in goals. I could go through the whole team. I couldn't see much fault with any of them.
Colin, for all the great scores, I imagine it's a ravenous defending and all the turnovers really what pleased you most.
Absolutely. We did focus on that. We did focus that we were going to have to get turnovers. I suppose it's not a state secret that you either get a kick out or you get a turnover. That's how you get possession in a game. And we targeted trying to get a lot of turnovers, and we got a lot. They also got a lot of turnovers too, but a lot of the time we made them count.
Colin,
Colin, how has your first season been at the end of it? Even obviously it ends on a high, but it's been up and down and some criticisms along the way as well.
Yeah, but sure, everybody has their opinion, and I'm listening to that sort of stuff for a long time. I don't think anybody, I didn't get too upset over it. We knew we were on the right road. It was, we thought it might take even more time to get a team together, but like, we are probably, if we got into the Sam Maguire 2 months ago, we probably weren't ready. But I'd love if we could get into the quarter final or get into a group stage now, because we have improved so much. But it's been the most fantastic experience to get involved with a committed group of players. Like, I've been involved in management at club level and schools level for 40 years, but definitely the commitment by these fellas has surpassed, I think, anything I've been involved with.
Just even starting off for next year, Colin, knowing that you're in the Sam Maguire, is it's a nice thing to have. I know you want to, you probably want to get promotion to Division 1 at that point. It's a nice thing to have going into next year before you...
It is. It is. It's nice to have banked that. I hope that by next year that the team has improved again, and that we'll be able to qualify through a higher position in the second division. But I suppose that's a nice part of it.
What about the connect with the supporters, Colin? That's something that was clearly evident throughout the campaign. A huge
meet
crowd there today.
Yeah, and I think young people have connected. A lot of the sort of, from teenagers down, have seemed to connect with this group of players. But they're a lovely group of players. And we had a night in Park Tolshan where all the supporters came in and kids. And every single person who talked to me afterwards, who had young children there, spoke about how nice the lads were. And it's a great tribute to them as well that they could... They spent an hour in the rain signing autographs, taking photographs, and it was just wonderful to see. And I think that that's going to inspire a new generation of Meath players, just the same as some of the victories of the 80s inspired another team. That class of people, of course, they haven't had heroes before. Now they have them.
So, as you said, Jimmy, you coloured the occasion brilliantly in your piece in this week's Chronicle about how Colm bound into the media room with a smile on his face. I'd say it's Monday morning, it's Monday midday now. I'd say that smile is still as broad as ever. And I thought one of the highlights of all his interviews was the one he gave to the Saturday game on RTE. Maybe Martin might be able to find it and stick it onto the podcast here, where he said, you know, it was good for me to win the Tolshan Cup, given the relevance of the Tolshan Games to Meath, where the Tolshan Games originated in Meath. And he went on to explain what the Tolshan Games were, which were a mix of chariot racing, spear throwing and pig wrestling. And he equated it to being similar to a night out in Dundarry, which I thought it was hilarious, and it drew a lot of laughs and all that. So Martin might actually be able to find that audio and put it into the podcast here for our listeners that maybe didn't hear it.
For a cup and a Tolshan Cup, which has a lot of resonance with Meath insofar as the Tolshan Games were held in Meath, and where you had chariot racing and spear throwing and pig wrestling, a bit like Dundry on a Saturday night.
But Jimmy... We watched Dublin, a bit of Dublin Monaghan then afterwards. There is a gap, a clear gap between the levels of intensity in the Meath Down game and the level of intensity in the Dublin Monaghan game. But, and as you said there, you know, it can be a big gap. But now there's the fuel in the tank. There seems to be fuel in this Meath tank to drive on and close that gap even more. Do you think it can happen? Do you think, we need Dublin obviously to come back a little bit and we'll kick on. Do you think it's possible?
Well, Fergal, it's a huge gap. But also we have to look at Donoghue. It was brilliant. I think every Meath supporter was just so delighted. It was one major aspect of the victory on Saturday, was to see Donoghue and that player who was given 10 years and 150, whatever it is.
153
performance for Meath. You know, one of the great warriors of our time and any time for Meath football, really. And he would have got on any Meath team, you know, no doubt about it.
He'd have wrestled any pig to the ground at any touch of
his. Exactly, yeah, yeah. So he's an example for any young footballer. But to see him lift the trophy was tremendous. But we must, how long can Donald go on for? How long can, say, Pádraig Cairn? Well, Pádraig has been, you know, he's had his fair share of injuries as well and so on. You know,
he's 28, 29 as well, yeah.
Well, relatively young. He should be really on his peak now, but he's taken a lot of, he's shipped a lot of injuries over his time and a lot of blows and so on. So, you know, will Pádraig stay on there, Fergal? That's a question that has to be asked. And Donald, I suppose, will, you know, we might see him. I might see him tonight. You know, maybe it's a bit early yet to ask him a question like that. But he certainly, you know, if he loses players like that, we know.
Yeah, I'd say he will hang on, especially given the success that on Saturday. I'd say he will hang on because he's certainly fit enough and he's definitely good enough. As you said, he's one of those players, probably our only player in the last decade, that would have walked onto any of the successful Meath teams in the past. And I'm delighted to see him. And the relief in his voice when he climbed the steps to the Hogan stand and he said, "I waited a long time to say these words to Anna Hassan and Curran Shaw Glocke. You know, it meant a lot to him, and you could see that, and it was brilliant.
How true that was.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, no Meath players were made available to talk to the media after the game, so we didn't get any interviews with the boys. But there is a meet and greet tonight, as you mentioned there, where you might get a chance to talk to some of the boys. And all supporters are invited to go to Park Tulchan tonight. I think it's at 7:30, where the players are coming back. They're bringing the Tulchan Cup, so there'll be opportunities to meet the players and get your photographs taken with the Tulchan Cup and the successful Meath team. But yeah, brilliant, Jimmy. In terms of the impact it has, so next year we know that win means that Meath will play in the All-Ireland group stages, the Sam Maguire next year, which is huge in terms of their development. But how do you think achieving that will impact Division 2 of the league next year? There's an opportunity, there's a possibility that you go into Division 2 of the league next year thinking, Osher, we've already got our All-Ireland final place secured here, and maybe become a little bit complacent. Now, that won't be a conscious decision, but it could be a subconscious decision that's in the back of the player's mind that, well, we've already achieved what we're going to achieve. And Division 2 will be tough next year. Meath need to step up again, don't they?
Well, certainly. I mean, that's been one of the aims of Colin Morocco is to get them back up in Division 1, one of the primary aims. How important that is, yeah, how important that is. I don't think, Fergal, I don't think Colin Morocco will allow them to sort of be anyway complacent, and he'd want them to push on and so on, and he'd constantly remind them. He said he would prefer, interesting enough, some weeks ago, he said he would prefer to qualify for the All-Ireland next year by finishing high in the Division 2.
By winning promotion, yeah.
Winning promotion, you know, just like secure it that way. That's, you know, and that's interesting, all right. But he did, as we heard there in the interview, that he did sort of say how he was pleased to sort of win it this way. You know, it does relieve a certain amount of pressure. Of course it does. But, what about yourself, Fergal? What do you think this...
I agree with you 100%. I don't think the management will allow any sort of complacency set in. I think the players themselves will have understood the value of the success on Saturday, and it might make them hungry for more, which is all we can hope for. Looking forward to the National League now. I really wish it would be good if the Tulchan Cup could have been done in a similar way to the Joe McDonagh, in that the winners of the Tulchan Cup got into maybe the quarterfinals of the All-Ireland. I'd love another crack at a top-tier team, at a Division 1 team, and see how we would fare against a Monaghan, an Armagh, a Galway, a Derry. Okay, Dublin and Kerry, I think, are a different level. But I'd love to see how we would fare now against them. And it's an awful pity now we have to wait 5 or 6 months before our next game. But hopefully this group will stay together. They go back to their clubs now and play the club championship, and they'll get back together in November or whenever it'll be and prepare properly for the league, because it's crucial.
Yeah, well, you mentioned, Colin Morocco mentioned that as well, also about how the fact that you know, he would love to get into the group stages now with the Sam Maguire, because this he feels the team has come on so much, and obviously it has. It has come on so much. And again, you know, he has done this many times in reference to the fact that there's been a huge changeover of players, like from the Cork match, was only five players, he said, that started on Saturday from the Cork match in the first round of the league. Yes, so that's a very brief couple of months, really. And
lads that started, that weren't even on the panel, weren't even in the training squad for that game. And a lad like Sean Coffey, who you mentioned was your player of the match, he wasn't even on the panel for the Cork game.
Was he not? Yes,
he wasn't even in the training squad. He was in the development squad, you know. So that showed the value of that. And then seeing Kieran Caulfield coming through, you see the value of a good under-20 structure as well, with John McCarthy, and the development squad, of course, been run by Cathal Oibrick and Conor O'Donoghue. So it's good to see that the structures behind the senior team are there to allow these players to develop. And you have to remember that squad, young and all as it is now, has none of an All-Ireland winning team from 2021. That there's none of them there yet. So they have to feed through into the system, and they'll be another 2 or 3 years before they're ready to come through. So while, Donald Keoghan, Pádraig Cairn, Killian O'Sullivan, James McEntee, while players like that are, I hate using the term, nearing the end of their playing days, but, you know, there might only be 2 or 3, there is plenty coming through. So by the time those lads have decided to call it their day, your Conor Grays, your Ronan Jones, your Matthew Costello, what a leader Matthew Costello is turning out to be. Unbelievable. Matthew Costello is only 21 years of age, and he's an absolute pure leader on that team. By the time Donald Keoghan and other lads decide to hang up their boots, these other lads will have 3 or 4 or 5 years good experience behind them, and they'll be our leaders to inspire that All-Ireland winning minor team to come true. So, look, I'm conscious of the fact that we're doing this on Zoom and we only have a limited amount of time. So,
One player we didn't mention there, Fergal, that we probably should have, is Sean Brennan, the goalkeeper. I think he is becoming a sensation this year with his saves, but also his kickouts. They're as good as Cluxton, you know, any day. I think, you know, invariably he finds his target with his kickouts. They're really brilliant. So he's a legend as well, you know.
And after a spell when Andy McEntee, he tried 12, 13 goalkeepers during his time in charge. And then when Harry Hogan came in, we all thought, right, Harry Hogan's the man. This is it. He's brilliant. A great goalkeeper. Finally, we have, you know, what we're looking for in terms of our goalkeeper. But then Sean Brennan got his chance. And now we've got 2 excellent goalkeepers. And actually, Billy Hogan, who's Harry's brother, as a third choice keeper, you've got 3 excellent goalkeepers. And even behind that, you have Oisín McDermott, who is the minor goalie on the team that won the All-Ireland. And he was brilliant.
Yes.
His kickouts are excellent as well. And he's producing the goods for Ballinlough at the minute as well. So, look, we have an abundance of riches now, but they need to be nurtured properly, coached properly, proper tactics, and patience. Patience is a virtue.
I have to say it there as well, though, Fergal, I'm sorry. I thought there'd be more main supporters there. Did you think there was a big crowd?
I think there was a big crowd, Jimmy. I think it just got lost in the vastness of Croke Park. There was a huge Mead crowd. And of course, we might have vocally, it might have sounded that Mead were outnumbered, but you have to remember, you're down supporters. The Dubs weren't supporting Mead, and the Monaghan crowd weren't supporting Mead. So any neutral that was there were behind down, and we were shouting for our own on our own. And I thought we more than held our own. I think the Mead supporters were excellent, and great to see the bit of green and gold. And I know there was a minor incident up on the hill with a flare that ended up being thrown, but that was sorted and dealt with. But it was great to see the colour up on the hill and to hear "Come on, you boys in green," and to hear the "Oh, beautiful Mead" at the end of the game. It was great. So, it was a good occasion. And hopefully all the Mead supporters will get out to Partolchin this evening.
I just know of a couple of Mead supporters who decided not to go because it was €50 a ticket.
Which is
€50. Okay, you know, we want to see your team, but €50 a ticket, I think, is a bit much.
I know.
I know. 45, I think, Fergal.
Yeah, and I know people that couldn't get tickets, and then eventually tickets did come on stream later on in the week, but no juvenile tickets. So, you know, if you're a young family, you just couldn't do it. And it's something the GAA needs to look at. You know, are we becoming, is the GAA trying to become like the Premier League, where it's trying to get as much money out of the thing as it can, or are they going to stick to the values of being a community club-based organisation that's there for the people and not to rip off the people? And I think they really need to look at that instead of saying, oh, well, we're going to rip them off, because there is plenty of money in the GAA.
Yeah, well, I was another assignment as this week prior to was out to see Eastern Harps play
Eastern Gales
in the Junior B Football Championship, and their chairman was telling me that there is no support there for a new club like them. There's no grants; they can't get any grants for starting up a new, if they want to start up a new club.
Yeah,
it's almost as if they don't want a new club to start up. They just want to, you know. But I was amazed at it.
Yeah, and we have, to touch on that, so you were at the Eastern Gales Cortown game, and we have full coverage of that game and a historic occasion for the Mornington-based club, their first ever game, challenge or otherwise, for the senior men's team. The ladies have been up and running for a while and have played a few competitive games, but they're a new club set up on the goalpost of Meath, as it's known, out around Mornington area. So we have full coverage of that game in this week's Chronicle. But Jimmy, before we go, we can't go without heaping praise on the Meath ladies, I suppose. Just, they relinquished their crown at the weekend, but they died on their shields, Jimmy. They died with their boots on. Going down to Tralee was never going to be easy after the type of year that they've had, where battled relegation in Division 1, change of management at the end of last year, change of management mid-season, loss of key players. It was always going to be difficult. 10 points down at half-time, shitty goal went against them in the first half that Meath haven't let in that type of goal at all in the last 5 years. 10 points down at half-time, got it back to 4, and were so brave in bowing out of the All-Ireland Championship. So for the first time in 3 years, the Meath ladies will not be the All-Ireland champions, but they've certainly given us plenty to cheer about over the last 5 years, with two senior All-Irelands, one intermediate All-Ireland, Division 3, Division 2, Division 1 league titles. They've given us plenty of reasons to cheer.
Yes, and I'm not surprised that they were carried off the battlefield in their shields, because the nature of they are warriors, you know, and all the way through every game we see, they just give it everything. They've brought a great sense of pride to this county over the last couple of years under Eamon Murray and so on, to All Ireland finals. We never thought we'd see that, actually. You couldn't have imagined that even 3, 4, 5 years ago. And what warriors they were, and they gave it everything on down in Kerry in terrible conditions, but brilliant. We salute them.
Yeah, Jimmy, a jam-packed Meath Chronicle this week. We really urge the people to go out and buy it. If you had your photograph taken by one of our snappers in Crow Park at the weekend, pick up the paper. Hopefully it made it into the final cut, because there was plenty of them. We have another busy week ahead. Of course, second round of the Senior Hurling Championship gets underway, and then we have to preview the start of the senior and intermediate club football championship, which is only just around the corner as well. So while the journey ends for the Meath teams, the two senior football teams, the men and the ladies, it's only just beginning really for the club footballers, who, let's face it, what do they say, only 2% of the players play inter-county, but 100% of the players play club. So this is where it is at, and that's what it's all about. The club hurling resumes this weekend, and the club football gets going in a couple of weeks' time. So it's busy, busy times ahead, Jimmy.
Absolutely, Fergal, and we'll see all our friends, and if we have anybody left out there over the coming weeks at various grounds around, you know, as a champion. As we said, the junior B and so on, some of the junior matches have already got junior football championship matches have already got underway, but it all takes off, doesn't it, in a couple of weeks' time, Fergal? Weekend after next, hurling next week, and then after next, the football. So we look forward to that.
So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully you didn't have your ears destroyed by the poor sound quality of this talk a good game, or by maybe the nonsense myself and Jimmy were talking. But that was another edition of the Meath Chronicle Sports Podcast, and we'll talk to you all again hopefully next week. Say hi.